This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch Ma'abam. We're continuing in Mishneh Berurah. We're continuing in Maseches Ksubos, Daf HaShavua. We're learning Daf Yud Aleph Amud, Yud Amud Beis. Daf Yud Amud Beis. We're on the third line, second line, on Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Ahuda Asala Kameh Deram Gamliel Bar Rabbi. Somebody came before Ram Gamliel Bar Rabbi. So somebody appeared before him, and he says, Amar Lei Rabbi Ba'alti V'lam Matzasidam. He says, Rabbi, I lived with my wife, and I didn't find any blood. So on Daf Tes, we were talking about somebody who lived with his wife, and he says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. I found that she was open, her basulim were broken. And this instance, he says she has no blood, she's not a basula. Amrale Rebbe, she said to the Rebbe, meaning this is her response, Adayin basulani, I'm still a basula, what are you talking about? I'm still a basula. So we have this dispute. The guy says that she didn't have dam. Now listen carefully. She doesn't say, I was a basula at the time that he lived with me. She's saying, today I'm still a basula. He lived with me many times. And for whatever reason, I'm still a basula. Maybe he did hataya, or he never broke the basulim. But even today, I'm still a basula. So Ram Gamliel conducted the following experiment. Don't try this at home. Amar Lahen, he said to them, Hivili shtei shvachais. Bring me two maidservants. Achas basula v'achas basula. One that's a basula, and one that was already lived with somebody. So Hivilo, they brought it to him. So they brought him the specimen. V'hoishivan al pi chavish shal yayin. And he positioned them on a barrel of wine. Bu'ula reicha noidev. The woman who had relations, the smell of the wine wafted through her because she was open. I mean, again, like Michael, like we were talking, biologically it would be very hard to explain this, how wine, the scent of wine is going to waft through a woman who's a bu'ula, not a basula, but that's what happened. Basula in reicha noidev. The basula, the smell did not waft through her. So Rabbi Raman Gamliel did the test. Avzu Ishivala Herecha Noidev. He did the test and the smell did not waft through. So clearly she was closed and she was a basula. Amar Lois, Ram Gamliel said, Lech Zakeh B'Mekchacha. Go merit, in other words, take possession of your purchase. So basically he did this scientific experiment. The old wine in the barrel basula check. And it turned out she was a basula. Says the Gemara, why did he have to make an experiment on two shvachais? Just check the woman straight up if this is a valid test. So see if the smell wafts through, she's a basula. If it doesn't waft through, she's a basula. V'nivdek me'ikar b'gava, why don't we check her straight up? Says the Gemara have a shmile. Ram Gamliel had a tradition that this test worked. Ma'isalo hava. Chazi. He never saw it in real life. So he didn't know if it worked. He heard it worked, but he never saw it actually be effective. The Savar, he thought, Dilmo like Kimle Begave Dimil Sashapir. Maybe he doesn't know how to do it properly. It's not nice, it's not Derech Eretz to use Jewish women as an experiment. Now the truth is, it's one should not use a Shivcha either, but it's certainly preferable than using a Bnei Yisrael. So this is a very interesting test. I don't know what you doctors whether biologically this is going to work. Bizman hazed that the smell of wine will waft through the woman's body. I mean, just because she's open, ba'oisay makayim, there's a lot of the goof that this smell is going to have to travel through in order to come out of her nose and her mouth. I mean, it almost sounds absurd. But, you know, whether it's Nishtana HaTeva, where they just had a certain extra sense of smell. Actually, Elena, when I was in France recently, they took us to a perfumery. And in the perfumery, they have expert noses. And an expert nose is somebody who trains themselves to be able to smell thousands and thousands of scents that we cannot smell. It's a certain sense that they develop, and there are only X number of noses in the whole world. I mean, I think under 100 or something. And maybe back in the good times of the Gemara, they just had a certain sense of smell that we don't have anymore. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Hahuda asla kameder on Gamliel Hazakin. Somebody came before Gamliel Hazakin. Amar lai Rebbe ba'alti lo matzasi dam. Said, I had relations, I didn't find blood. Amar lai Rebbe. So she says, Rebbe, don't you know who I am? Mishpachas Dorkti ani. I have the privilege, the distinction of being from the family of Dorkti. Shein lohem loydam nidav loydam besulim. They don't have the blood of menstruation, and they don't have the dam of besulim. Baldak, so Ram Gamliel didn't just bite on that. He went to check if she's related to this family. Baldak Ram Gamliel bekravose. Ram Gamliel checked out the relatives of Matzah Kivara, and in fact, she was for the family of Dorkti. Amar loy, so Rebbe said to the husband, Lech zakeh b'mekhacha, go take possession of your purchase. How fortunate you are that your wife does not have blood. Ashrecha shezachisa l'mishpachas Dorkti. It's like, you know, you married into the Rothschilds over here. You got a Dorkti lady. Says Gemara, my Dorkti, why are they called Dorkti? Dar katua, a cut-off generation. Which we're going to see is because the more blood a woman has, the more fertile she is. So the generation is cut off because it sort of mitigates her ability to have children. So now the Gemara is going to question, why was Ram Gamliel so complimentary to the guy? Not having blood is not a good thing. He says, oh, go be zoicha in your purchase. It's not a zuchus. It seems like he got a bad deal. He got the raw end of the deal with this lady. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Tanchumim shall hevel nichamai Rabban Gamliel la'isa yo'ish. Gamliel consoled that man with empty consolation. The Tani Rabchia taught, Kishem shahasa'or yafel isha, just like yeast is good for dough, kach domim yafim liisha, blood is good for a woman. Blood makes a woman more fertile. V'tano mishum Rab Meir, it was taught named Rab Meir, kol isha shadamea merubin, banea merubin. Any woman who has a lot of blood will have a lot of kids. So what kind of consolation is, oh, Baruch Hashem, you got a dorkti. That's not a good thing. Eino isha lo lebanim. And she's not going to be fertile. So the Gemara now goes through two possibilities. Itmar, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, Zakeh b'mekhacha. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said that Ram Gamliel said, go merit your purchase. Amar le. So again, Itmar, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar, Zakeh b'mekhacha. Amar le. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba said, Ram Gamliel said, go merit your purchase. Rabbi Yossi bar Abba Amar Neschayev. B'mekhacha amar lei. Rabbi Yosef bar Abin said, go be obligated in your purchase. Says the Gemara, Bishlam alamadam neschayiv. Bishlam, according to the opinion that he said, go suffer with your purchase. Hainud Rabbi Chanina. That's what Rabbi Chanina said, that Ram Gamliel gave empty and false consolation, Ela Lamanda Amar Zakeh, but according to the opinion that he said, go merit your purchase, Mai Zechusa. What merit is there? What advantage is there? What plus, positive is there that the woman doesn't have blood? So the Gemara says, it is a positive, because you never have to deal with any She'elois, you don't have to deal with Suffolk Nida. Now we have another case. And this case is probably the most likely in terms of contemporary possibility. Hahuda asla kamei de Rebbe. Somebody came before Rebbe. Amra lei Rebbe ba'alti matzasi dam. I had relations. She didn't have blood. Amra lei. She said to him, Rebbe, adayim basula yisi. Says, I don't know. Can't tell you why I didn't have blood, but I'm still a basula. But ushnei b'tzaris hava. It's famine. I'm not at optimal health. Malnourished. No period. Ra'a Rabbi Shibneim Shchaim. Rabbi saw their faces were blackened. Siva Alem, he commanded. Vechnisim Lamerchatz, he sent them to the bathhouse. Vechilam, he gave them to eat. Vehishkam, he gave them to drink. Vechnisim Lecheder, he brought them into the room. Baal, they had relations with Matzadam, and there was blood. Amar Loi, Rabbi said, Lech Zake B'mekchacha. Go merit your purchase. She was just malnourished. Kari, just wondering here, why did Rebbe have to bathe the guy and give the guy nourishment? I mean, if the issue is she doesn't have blood, so she's the issue. Of what relevance is it? Unless maybe he, because he was malnourished, so his ability to consummate the marriage was also somewhat limited. And he also needed the, let's say, the nourishment to be able to break the basulim, perhaps. In any event, Kari Rabbi Aleim, Rabbi called upon on them, Safad Oiram Al Atzmam. Their skin has dried on themselves, on their bones. Yavesh Hayakates, they were dry like wood. Yeah, I like that approach. That Rabbi needed, the guy also had needed nourishment in order to be moitzi dam from her basulim. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Basula ksubasa masayim. A basula, her ksuba is 200 zuz. The almana mana. An almana is 100 zuz. Now, there's a big shaila. These zuz, is it pure silver? Or is it mixed with other material? And what does 200 zuz translate into today? Rav Moshe says 100 pounds of silver. I looked it up right before the shir. 100 pounds of silver is $25,000. That's money. Okay? Anyway. So the Mishnah says, a basula gets 200 zuz, the almana mana, an almana gets 100 zuz. Basula, but a virgin who's an almana, who's a widow, grusha, divorcee, v'chalutza, or son who did chalutza, min ha'erusin, so therefore there's no reason to assume that her basulim have been broken, ksubasan masayim. She gets a full ksuba of 200 zuz. And if she turns out not to be a basula, the marriage is rendered null and void because it's a mekach tos. He thought he was getting a basula despite the fact that she was an almana, but she was an almana from erusin. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, my almana, where does the word almana come from? What is the etymology of the word almana? Amar Rav Chana Bagdata. Rav Chana Bagdata, Rashi says, from Baghdad. Rabbi Chana of Baghdad said, almana al shem mana. The word almana comes from the amount of money the almana gets. Either almana, she doesn't get a mana, or she gets a mana. Meaning, she's missing a mana, or she gets a mana. Almana min erusin ma'ikal meimar. What about almana from erusin? She gets 200 zuz. So we should change her name. We should call her Kain mana or masayim. Says Gemara, Aidi daha korle almana hanami korle almana. Her name got stuck, even though it's not really accurate for her, but it's agav the regular almana. Says Gemara, what about the almana in the Torah? Ksuba is only midrabanan. So if ksuba is midrabanan, almana d'ksiva ba'ayra. Excuse me. The ksuba of an almana is d'rabanan. Ksuba of a regular woman, we had on Tosfos on Yudam and Aleph on the top left. That's a machloikas between Rav Nachman, who says it's d'rabanan, and Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says it's d'iraisa. Tosfos paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel that ksuba of a basula is d'iraisa, but ksuba of an almana is definitely d'rabanan. So why would the Torah call an almana almana? Almana the Sivai Raisa Maikalamar says the Asidin Rabban the Miskine Lamana, the Torah calls it mana because the Torah knows the future that the rabbis will enact a mana. Says Gemara, mi kasav krala asid. Does the pasuk write for the future? Gemara says, in sure. Here's an example. The name of the third river in the Garden of Eden was Chideka. Hu ha'hilech kidmas Ashur. It traveled east of Ashur. V'taner of Yosef, Ashur. What's Ashur? Zusalika, Seleucia. But the only thing is, in the Garden of Eden, this city did not exist yet. So how could you say that the Tigris traveled east of a city that didn't exist? Umi Havoi. Did that city exist? Ela da Asida. It was destined to be. Hachanami here also. Amana da Asida. It's destined to get a mana.
But when the Torah was written by Moshe, it was labeled that. But a ksuba was after the time of Moshe.
I don't understand. What?
The names of the river, when Moshe wrote the Torah, when the Torah was written, it had the name, even though it wasn't by Bereshis. But when Moshe actually wrote the Torah, it had the name. But a ksuba,
right?
That wasn't.
You're saying Moshe wrote the Torah, so Ashur had already founded that city.
Right.
Yeah, but Moshe's writing a narrative as if, you know, that took place before his time. So you're saying, well, maybe it's only appropriate to do that if at the time of the author it exists. But the Torah itself would not include information for the future. Okay. I hear. That what you're saying was the Gemara's Havamina, right? And the Gemara says, no, we're not going to make that distinction. Okay. V'amar Rav Chana Bagda Taha. Matar. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the rain. Now, Rashi points out we're not darshaning the etymology of the word rain. So why exactly we're talking about the rain? It's probably just, this is another statement of Rav Chana Bagda Taha. I mean, if you remember, the Gemara in Masechta Tainis says that rain penetrates the earth like the man penetrates the woman, right? Kasher yireid hageshem v'hashelag min hashamayim v'shama la'ayashuv ki im hirvayas ha'aretz v'hoylida v'hitzmicha. So perhaps in the context of the Bia, so we speak about the rain as they both are hoylid u'matzmiach. But Pashup Shad is, this is just another statement of Rav Chana Bagdata. Matar, rain, mashke, it waters, merav, it saturates, u'mezavel, it fertilizes, ma'adin, it brings shine to the fruits, u'mamshech, and it draws produce. Amar Rava bar Rabbi Yishma, v'temer of Yemer bar Shalmiya, Maikra, what pasuk brings out this idea? Tilameha rave. You water, you saturate the furrows of Eretz Yisrael. That's saturation. Nachas gedudeha. Bringing peace to her furrows. Kasha bervivim to my gana. You soften with your showers. So soften is fertilizing and luster. And the end of the pasuk is Simcha Tevarech, you bring blessing to the produce, that's Mamshech. Now we're going to darshan a word. We're going to darshan the word Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Mizbeach, Maziach. The Mizbeach cuts down. Umezin, it nourishes. Mechabev, it endears. Mechaper, it atones. So right now the Gemara feels Maziach is to cut away. The Gemara thinks it refers to cutting away sin, so that's the same thing as Mechaper. asks the Gemara, "Hainu mechaper, hainu meziach." It atones and it cuts. It's the same thing. So the Gemara says, "No, the cutting and the atonement are not for the same thing. It cuts away the decrees that sin brings, and it atones for sin. Meziach gezeros. It cuts away decrees. Umechaper avoinos, and it atones for sin." Va'amar Ravcha. What?
Sorry, why does the Gemara going into Mizbeach now?
Well, because again, we're sort of continuing the subject of breaking down the etymology of words. We just brought in the word almana. Where does almana come from? So now we're explaining the etymology of another word, Mizbeach, that. Similar to, just like Amana, the etymology is some of the letters represent certain qualities of the Amana. So to Mizbeach, the word Mizbeach stands for and carries the meaning Meziach, Mezin, Mechabev, Mechaper. Says Gemara, V'amar Rav Chana Bagdata, Tamri, dates. Now, dates. Here's something you need to know about dates. Don't eat them unless you get trained by the Vad of the Five Towns how to check for bugs. Because there are worms in them. There are lots of worms in dates. So you say, what do you mean? It has a hechsher on it. So this is what it means, it has a hechsher on it. When there's a hechsher on a fruit, it means it's not, there's no chazer in the fruit. But it doesn't mean there are no bugs in the fruit. Why they do that, I don't know. But you do not eat a date unless you know what the infestation you're looking for. There are little worms that unless you're trained, you have no idea what you're looking for. So if you came here tonight just to know you can't eat dates unless you check them, it was a worthwhile evening. So, but if you do check the date, mishachnan, it makes you warm. Masbian, it satiates. Mishalshalan, it loosens the bowels. Me'ashran, it makes you strong. V'loy mefankan, but it doesn't make you dependent on delicate foods. Amar Rav, achal temarim al yoyra. If you eat dates, do not paskin a halacha. I was mechadesh a halacha that if you eat a donut, you should not paskin a halacha. Because there's so much sugar in the donut that it makes your mind so befuddled and so clouded, you cannot think clearly for about 3 days afterwards. I mean, after consuming 1,200 calories in that donut, I don't think you should paskin a shayla. If you can't paskin after drinking a ravias of wine, don't paskin after the donut. But the Gemara says a similar thing. The Gemara says, don't paskin after eating dates. It clouds the mind. Frak the Gemara, meisvei, timarim, shachris, va'arvis, yafais. Dates in the morning and the evening are good. In the morning, everybody eats pas shachris, bread. Of course, in American society, it's a big sin to eat bread. You only could drink coffee. But the Gemara says bread in the morning, it removes anxiety, it removes hatred, it removes all, it puts you in a good mood. It's important to eat pas shachris. So dates in the morning are good. Va'arvis, supper time, they're good. B'mincha, in the afternoon, by the afternoon nap, they're bad. Ra'is. But Saharayim, in the after your lunch, ain kamaisan, there's nothing like them. Umivat lo shloishadvarim, they nullify three things. Machshavara, bad thoughts, v'choyli me'ayim, and intestinal distress, the tachtonios, and hemorrhoids. So we see that dates are good. So why do we say if you ate dates, don't paskin? Dates are very healthy. Says Gemara, you're right, they're very healthy, but they still cloud your mind, so you can't paskin. Mi amrino dolay ma'alu. We never said they're not good. Alu ye ma'alu, they're very good. Ulefi shaita tirda, they temporarily limit your judgment. Mi didhava chamer, just like wine, damar mar. The master said, ashoy servius ya no yar, someone who drinks servius of wine, do not paskin. The boys, amen. If you want, you could say something else. Like Kasha, it depends when you eat the dates. Dates are like antibiotics. They're good on a full stomach. They're not good on an empty stomach. Hamikami nama, one is before bread. Before bread, they ain't good. To have them in the afternoon before you eat lunch, it's not good. Halabasar nama, after bread, they're good. Amra Abai said, Amrali, my mommy told me. Tamri mikame nama, dates before bread. Kinargala dekuli, it's like it is like a axe to a date palm. Date palms don't like axes. Right? It's like I tell my kids, you can eat dessert, but after the main course, if you eat dessert on an empty stomach, so not healthy. So dates are good. Basar nama, after bread, ki avra do dasha, it's like a bar for a door. Bars are good for doors. Doors need bars. Now, the last couple of blah were a lot of bars and doors. I mean, we had a bar for the door. That the way Hatoya works is that there's a bar in back of the door, so if you sort of come in on an angle on the side, you get in without breaking the hymen. Anyway, dasha, what does dasha mean? How does dasha refer to door? Amar Rava, derach sham. Dasha means the path is this way. Darga, ladder. Amar. Now, pashut pshat here is we're darshaning the etymology of other words. The Ben Yoyada has a Kabbalistic interpretation over here. He's trying to figure out before. Somehow, Gag is 33. A whole pshat. Amar Rava, derach Gag. Ladder. Darga means the road to the roof. Purya, a bed. The Ben Yoyada says the Yud Aleph of Purya corresponds to the Hey Vav, the 11 of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. But why is it called a bed? Amara Papa Shaparin Viravin Aleha. Because it is its purpose is procreation. Amar of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Nachum Bar Yitzchak said, Af anu ne'emar, we can also say ilanis duchranis. We could darshan the word ilanis. A woman who doesn't have a uterus, who's infertile, is called an ilanis. Why? Because it means a male ram. That a male cannot conceive and give birth. So an ilanis is like a male ram that cannot conceive and give birth. While we're on that subject, someone on Friday night had a really wondrous thought. You know, in the beginning, if Yitzchak was not going to go on the Akedah, it seems like there was going to be a Seh in his place. Alekim Yerloi HaSeh. And ultimately, Vihine Ayel Achar Ne'echazasach. So what happened? Was it a sheep or was it a ram? How did the set turn into an ayah? So someone in the shul, Rani Benjamini, he said, well, we know the Archaim HaKadosh writes in many places that before the Akedah, Yitzchak had the neshama of a female. That's why he never got married, because he wouldn't have been able to have children. That's why he's always associated to Sarah. Hashem pakad a Sarah. After the Akedah, his female soul departed and a male soul came into him. And now is Avraham hoyled as Yitzchak, and now it's time for him to get married. So originally, in lieu of Yitzchak, we needed a Seh, female. But after the Akedah, now that he's a Zachar, we need an Ayel to take his place. Anyway, Rabbi Isai, great to see everyone. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening. Kol Tov.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Kol Tov. Good night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.